right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH with a cup of coffee each and every morning. And a reminder, Crestview Country Club, who supports the program, has a lot going on in November, including opportunities for Thanksgiving. If you're like me, don't have family in the area, you can head up there and have brunch, or you can get some Thanksgiving to go home with you and finish cooking it. It is something we've done for the last 3 years, and you can get in on that stuff without, you know, full memberships that include golf and everything else. You can get social memberships that have all that. Give Crestview a call. Ask them about all that. Tell them we sent you. We appreciate their support. Tommy, I'm struggling on Kansas-Carolina tonight. I'd like to bet it. The line right now is 7.5. The over-under is 160. My gut says take the under. If I had to take a line, I'd probably take Kansas, but I don't love it. And man, I got to tell you, and it's early in the college basketball season, so we're not going to have a ton of them, but I don't like any of the player props either. At least the odds you can get on them. It really, as far as like offensive props, the only thing I'm really seeing are DeJuan Harris, Coit, and Dickinson. And the odds on what you might get them at are not good. Threes, Coit's the only opportunity. The odds you can get on those aren't good. So I don't have a lot of advice for people as far as betting. Good luck, I guess. If you want to put a little, the only thing I kind of like is the under this early in the season. But again, early in the season, sometimes the defenses are behind. So I really don't know. I will say that I like Kansas in the game at home for sure. But I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't know much about North Carolina and what they've done in the offseason. Obviously, RJ Davis is still there. But other than that, it's kind of an unknown for me with that team.
I kind of like the over, actually. I'm going to disagree with you on that because, you know, I feel like with both of these teams, and we saw this with Kansas in their opener, and I know, again, it's Howard and you know, it's a different kind of opponent that they're playing tonight in North Carolina, but there's a clear path to points that Kansas has. Like, it's not like you're going to be searching for where is scoring going to come from with the Jayhawks. They have multiple weapons offensively to be able to score. And then same thing with Carolina. Like, they both have a clear path to points, and it's RJ Davis, you know, for sure with North Carolina. The other thing about both of these teams that, you know, this has kind of been a calling card for North Carolina in the last couple of years with RJ Davis, but then also with Kansas and the way that, you know, they've got some of these scores is they both want to play fast. Like, I would imagine that you're going to see both of these teams up and down the floor pretty quickly. And if both of these teams, or even if just one of them scores, you know, with any kind of efficiency, then I think you're going to see a pretty high scoring game back and forth. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to see this game be 90-82 victory for Kansas or something like that.
What each of them, you know, scored.
Yeah,
in their
like I think that we'd probably be we'd be seeing something like that, you know, with both of these teams, because while, you know, for sure defense is absolutely essential for Bill Self, and I know for Hubert Davis as well, it's still, like you mentioned, early enough in the season that that sort of thing may take a few games to sort of lock in. I just think the hype is going to be there. The juice is going to be inside Allen Fieldhouse. I would expect a high scoring game.
I think defense will matter more to Kansas by the end of the year. North Carolina scored 90 in their opener. So yes, based on what they did in their openers, I'm not like screaming from the rooftops, hey, everybody take the under by any means. The only thing that gives me some pause with a bet that puts essentially both teams into the 80s or the upper 70s. And this will be interesting to watch for Kansas. And probably the most interesting thing for me is how quickly can their defense be good? Because they do return Dickinson, Harris, and Adams. Three good defensive players, right? 60% of that starting lineup, there are good defensive players in our back. So how quickly, I would imagine that, you know, as we see Bill Self teams typically by the end of seasons become one of the best defensive teams in the country, this should be a year where Kansas can get to that a little quicker than normal because they brought so much back. What I don't know is how good of a defender Coit is, right? Can Rylan Griffin play that level of defense? Is Zeke Mayo going to be a problem defensively? I would imagine that none of those things are true, but Flory Badunga can be good defensively just because he's such an athlete. He'll probably be a foul problem early in the season. So we'll see. I think like for me, that's what I'm watching probably as much as anything else for Kansas early in the year, because we know the offense can run through Hunter Dickinson, right? There's no question about that. We know they want Coit and Mayo to shoot threes better than what they got last year. Like, we already know those things. So defensively, and I think this could really work to Kansas' advantage early in the year, I do think they could be ahead of schedule just because of what they brought back.
Yeah, I think that there are two things that I'm going to really be focused on in tonight's game. Number one is what kind of production can they get out of Hunter Dickinson? Because the one thing that North Carolina really struggled with in their opener against Elon was, number one, scoring in the paint. So they had a hard time with that. And then number two was rebounds. They basically played Elon to a draw on, you know, overall rebounds. And so if Dickinson, you're obviously stepping up the level of competition tonight. If yep. North Carolina can't figure out a way to, number one, score in the paint, and number two, be able to be more effective in grabbing rebounds, then this is going to be a game that you would think Hunter Dickinson could potentially dominate on both ends of the court. Number two, the other thing I'm looking at is that it was kind of a little bit of a, I guess call it a surprise, if you will, you know, that you had David Coit starting the opener for the Jayhawks instead of Zeke Mayo or AJ Storr. And because that was not, I think, anything that was really in anybody's mindset going into the game. Again, it's going to be a step up in the level of competition tonight against North Carolina. I think this is a big litmus test for Coit to see if he can play against that level of competition, or if we'll eventually see either Mayo or Storr sort of work their way back into the starting lineup.
But, you know, don't you think Coit earned it through the exhibitions? Like, I am way surprised, because I really, like, until we saw some exhibition games, I was like, who's David Coit? I don't remember him and all. But I think he's earned it.
Well, I think it's a combination. I think that he earned it, but then I also think that, you know, especially like AJ Storr, Bill Self has been on the record multiple times talking about how, you know, Storr, he isn't quite sure how he fits into the system yet. And that was a prized transfer out of the portal.
Yep.
There's always at least one guy that is in Bill Self's doghouse at any given time. And right now it's AJ Storr. It doesn't mean that he'll always be in the doghouse. There are multiple examples of players that have worked their way back out and had a ton of success. But at least right now, you know, I think that Coit earned it, number one. But then I also think it was also due to, you know, maybe Mayo and Storr not really impressing Self all that much throughout the exhibition games.
Coit will be fun. One, he's got a great nickname, Diggy. That will be fun to follow. But look, this is one of the things that I love about the transfer portal. Love about the transfer portal is Coit didn't have the hype because he came from Northern Illinois, but we're going to, and we have, like, the players that excel at that rung going up to the next level and finding success is going to be one of the best things that happens long-term with the portal, because we'll see stars be made that we didn't know could be stars. And maybe Coit is that for this team. On paper, he does a lot of the things they desperately needed last year that they couldn't find. So, you know, fit-wise, it could be that he just earns that spot and some of these other guys provide depth. I think another thing to watch tonight will be, you know, does the bench shrink up at all for Bill Self tonight? I think it probably will. And then what does that look like sort out the minutes.
I'm not sure that the bench can really shrink up any more than it already has. I mean, you know, we know that El Marco Jackson is out for the year. We know that, you know, McDowell is redshirting. Shaquille Moore set out the opener with an injury. I don't know what his status is. It's that vaunted depth that we went into the season thinking about is still there, but it's not as deep as it maybe was a couple of weeks ago.
But with those three, and I know there's a big debate among KU fans on whether KJ Adams needs to be in the starting lineup and all that. I go back to the old Greg Marshall stuff. Doesn't really matter if you start or you don't start. How many minutes are you playing, right? Like, are they really by the end of this thing going to be running 10 deep though? So that's what I wonder. Like, how does that, because when we initially thought about all this, if Badunga is a key contributor, and clearly he looks like he might be, right, or probably should be, and then Coit is taking on a bigger role than we thought, there will be an interesting look at how that all shakes out if we assume Hunter Dickinson and DeJuan Harris are going to play as many minutes as they can play, as they always do. that leaves those three spots really with eight guys to fill them. And so I do. And look, I think it's also really interesting to see if they all are playing well, maybe KU becomes this team that can just run at you so much because they have so many guys they can rotate in there. That's fantastic. That's also, we see that path work in college basketball, by the way, all the time. Teams that are super deep, that just keep that energy the whole time, discrediting my under 160 tonight, by the way. But that could also be something that we see that we're not used to seeing with KU, partly because they haven't had, you know, that many guys as in last year, and partly because Bill Self, typically by the time some of his best teams get there, they do shrink it down to about eight guys that are in the rotation. But if you think that's going to happen this year, who are the odd men out? That becomes the interesting part. And I wonder what that's like in the locker room right now. Do those guys see it that way? And, you know, some of these players that have transferred in, are they nervous at all about potentially not getting a ton of minutes?
Look at AJ Store. Look at AJ. I mean, like, he was vaunted as a guy that would come in and make an immediate impact in the starting lineup for KU. At least in the opener, he didn't. He wasn't in the starting lineup. And I don't know what tonight's will look like. I don't know moving forward, you know, what that will be. But that tends to happen. And I think that's perfectly okay. Like, I think that, you know, having that level of competition internally, it can only just raise everybody's game or at least weed out the ones that aren't able to get it done. So I'm totally okay with that. I think that this team, because of the way that it's constructed, really outside of Dickinson, you know, I take that back because Dickinson can move. There are so many pieces on this team that can get up and down the court. You know, especially with the shooters and the playmakers, one of the biggest things that the Jayhawks lacked a year ago outside of depth was a playmaker, a shot maker, somebody that could go and create offensively. They didn't really have that a whole lot last year. They were missing the guy on the team, like an Oche Agbaji, who could just go out and create offense for himself.
Right.
And they've got several guys who conceivably can do that this season, which again would lead me to believe that they want to be on the offensive side of the court as much as they possibly can. I think they're going to get up and down. I think they're going to play fast. They've got the personnel to do it. They've got the depth to do it. I would imagine that's the way that tonight will pan out.
Yeah, you're talking me out of my 160 and already put it in.
Can you cash out? I think you probably ought to cash out.
Well, I still think my thought on it is still good, is that they'll be ahead of the nation defensively early in the year. They are going to be a really fun and fascinating team to watch early in this season. And for all the best reasons, if you're a KU fan, right? Because they have more than enough of what they lacked last year. Now, how do they sort it out?
Right.
Leave that to Bill Self. And he always gets it sorted out.
Can I give you one other bet that I really like tonight? If you are looking at maybe wanting to do some kind of, I don't know, college hoops parlay, Kansas on the money line, I would include them in a parlay because they're not losing at home.
They're down, but it's down at like minus 270.
Well, I get it, but if you build it into a parlay, if you've got several legs on that, they're not losing a game against North Carolina inside Allen Fieldhouse. It's not happening. So I would put that for sure in a parlay on the money line.
I don't have a problem with a -7.5, but I will fully 100% confess and admit that I don't know jack about North Carolina. So that is a totally biased take that I would not advise people to follow. Like, I don't know anything about, I feel better about Kansas because I know a whole lot more about Kansas. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. On the way out, let's give away some HTO here. All you got to do to win a free iced tea and a free iced or hot coffee from HTO, any of the three metro locations here in Wichita, is text the keyword tea, TEA, to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, we got picks. Lots of them to make. The full gang's in. We'll be back. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.